Hey football fans, welcome to the Elite Pundit Show. I'm your host, Brian Emeka. It's going to be another exciting episode today. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of the show. Hello everyone and welcome to the Elite Pundit Show. This is your host, Brian Emeka. And today we're going to be talking about the first two game weeks of the Premier League season. Right now we have, I believe Chelsea should be top of the table. They've won their first two games, they've scored goals, they've conceded none. Manchester United have drawn their second game, they won their first game brilliantly well against Leeds. Manchester City lost their first game against Tottenham, but smashed Norwich 5-1 in typical Pep Guardiola fashion of completely demolishing the small teams in the Premier League. Obviously, I'm not trying to be cynical, City can demolish anyone on a good day, to be fair. So Liverpool won their first two games against Burnley and Norwich as well. So, you know, Manchester United have dropped points. And it's disappointing as a Manchester United fan, especially considering that Southampton was a team that you'd expect Manchester United to pick up 3 points against, even though it's away from home. Yes, it's the first game of the season. Southampton are going to be up for it. They've lost Ings. So, again, I still say Manchester United should have won this game. And the dropping of 2 points is disappointing, especially since a lot of the things that caused it is something fans have seen before. It's mistakes that fans have seen before. And I think there's elements of things to criticize Ole Gunnar Solskjaer on. And there's things that maybe go a little bit overboard, to be fair, in my complete opinion and understanding of how things are going on at the club at the moment. So we're going to pick things up for Manchester United. They smashed Leeds. There's no doubt about that. Mason Greenwood played down as number 9. Pogba was off to the left. You had James on the right. It was quite fluid, the front three or front four with Bruno, because sometimes Manchester United played, it looks like a 4-2-4, some from a 4-2-3-1. So I thought it was a really fluid, dynamic performance, but there's no but. It was just a good performance. Manchester United played well. I was happy. There's nothing really to complain about too much. I thought defense was good. Lindelof had the fantastic assist for Bruno, who scored his first hat-trick for Manchester United. Pogba was world-class with 4 assists. Mason Greenwood got on the action as well, scoring. So you can't complain too much. Even Fred scored a goal as well. So it was a great performance, you know. That Mason goal from Pogba was just unbelievable. The weight of the pass was perfect, but the strength and speed for Mason to just blast away from the defender and just put it in the bottom, I believe, left-hand corner of the goalkeeper's post. Perfect. That's what you want from a Manchester United center forward. He gets into those positions, and you know he can deliver. He's going to score. 9 times out of 10, Mason gets into those positions. It's either going to one of the bottom sides of the post, because that's how clinical he is as a Manchester United striker, and that's what you want. And you know, there's obviously, we're going to get into what happens with, you know, if Manchester United push for Haaland. That may not happen. You don't know. Haaland might not come to Manchester United. So maybe Mason Greenwood is the one. Maybe Manchester United need to find some kind of alternative for Cavani. But we'll get into that. Let's cover the results in fully length and give praise to the people who played well. I think McTominay had a very good game. It was unfortunate that he picked up in a knock in that game, and it affected the Southampton game as well. And, you know, Maguire was steady as well. I think he played well. He didn't really have too many problems. Luke Shaw had a decent game as well. Against Leeds, so everyone played pretty well. I would say everyone was about a 7 out of 10 at the minimum. And you had, you know, Pogba getting like a 10, Greenwood getting like a 9, Bruno getting like a 10. So you can't really complain when you have an average of 7 and everyone playing a 10, and you know your star performers having 10s and 9s. That was a very fantastic performance for Manchester United. Looking at all the results, Tottenham played really well against Manchester City. They had a way they wanted to play. They played a low block, counter attack with 3 players. A lot of the time, people play Manchester City and they leave just 2 up top. It's not really the way to go. You want to play Manchester City with 3 players up top, because Manchester City, for the mere fact, but most times, especially you know the way they defend, they play 2 high 8s. Then they play their front 3, and they have 1 holding midfielder. They push their fullbacks up for the most part. Sometimes Walker kind of, you know, or Cancelo kind of talks in, inverts in the midfield. But you can get at Manchester City if you have the 3 very fast, to be fair. They have to be fast attacking players, because then they can really attack that space with speed. Because Diaz, while he's a good defender, he's not very fast. Stones, a good covering defender is not very fast either. I believe it was Ake and Diaz that played, and they were terrible. They suffered against Tottenham. Should have been more than 1-0, and Tottenham didn't take their chances. But they got the win. They got the win, and you know, City started off the season with a loss, but I still expect them to be right there for the Premier League, especially if they go on and sign Kane. That might even make them favourites, if you ask me. But that was the result for Manchester City, and obviously they smashed Norwich. After it was 2-0, I stopped watching. I don't like watching City, just because when they start winning like that, it becomes really boring to watch as a rival fan, to be completely honest with you. I saw Liverpool, they had pretty much an easy game against Burnley, even though they tried to make it tough. Liverpool just, they have their system. And that's the thing, and this is something we'll have to talk about with Manchester United, because the teams that are being successful in the Premier Leagues are the teams that have a clear defined system and the way they want to play, and they are balanced. And we'll get into that and why Manchester United midfield dilemma is going to keep on creating these yo-yo-like performances. So, Liverpool won, and, you know, again, solid, fantastic performances all around, getting in on the act. You know, Jota, again, I think has been a very good buy for them as well. Looking at Arsenal, of course, they lost their first two games. I know my dad is an Arsenal fan, so I've always had a rivalry with Arsenal. As a Manchester United fan, there's always been that rivalry. I don't feel bad for Arsenal. I think this is so clear that this was what was going to happen with them, especially since they have been buying very poorly. They have been signing players to ridiculous contracts. Willian, Ozil, you know, so many players. You can criticize Manchester United all you want, but what Arsenal are doing is a whole new level of incompetence. It's so bad. It's just so bad. Like, the signing of Xhaka to a new deal is ridiculously bad. It's not even a 1-year extension. I believe he had 2 years left. They gave him another 2 years, and they increased his pay. It's so bad the way that club is run, especially Xhaka, a player that disrespected the fans, disrespected the captain armband, and he's been made the captain again. Or Aubameyang is the captain. I believe Xhaka is the acting captain when he doesn't play. But it's just bad. Arteta is just not ready for this level in terms of management. He might be a decent coach, even though that's left to be seen. He just doesn't know how to manage players at this level. And I think his decisions are so erratic. You know, what is the signing of Ramsdale? People say they signed him because he can play out of the back with his feet. Huh? Ramsdale can play out of the back with his feet. What? He's not exactly Edison. Like, let's be real. For 30 million, you're buying a backup goalkeeper. When they had Ryan, they could have kept. They had Martinez in the team that they let go. I don't know how you let go a goalkeeper that good at Martinez. Let's be real. You know Leno was deficient, okay? It's not as if they didn't know Leno had problems last season. They knew. And instead of saying, no, Martinez, I think you're good. Leno is not going to commit to a new deal. Let's keep you, and you challenge for the first team. Give me a chance to give you, you know, to let you play. You're going to be the first team goalkeeper. Leno doesn't want to sign a new contract. You're going to be the guy. That's not what happened. People will be arguing about, you know, Manchester United's situation with De Gea and Henderson, just for comparison. You know, De Gea has some big money. He's kind of hard to move. But all he's doing his best to make the two work. I don't see why Arteta couldn't keep Martinez and Leno. You know, it's not like Leno. Leno is not Neuer. He's not that good. So he made mistakes last season, and Martinez came in and was fantastic. He was a leader. He's exactly what Arsenal need, a leader and an older player that can push the team forward, that can push the spirit, that can make the players play better in front of him. And they sold him and bought Ramsdale for more money. That has to be one of the worst signings of the summer. Unbelievably terrible. I don't even know what to say to that. And it pisses me off because it's like, the Arsenal fans just go on Twitter. They are more, you know, the ones with the big accounts who all they do is banter all day. And I'm like, your club is shit. You're run terribly. Like, your club is beyond shit. If Manchester United were that bad, I would not have the confidence to talk in public. I'm sorry, on Twitter. They're so bad. And I still see the arrogant Arsenal fans, which is what just makes me, I will never feel bad for them. Like, I will never feel bad for Arsenal. I want them to get relegated. I'm sorry, that's just my mentality with Arsenal. Because the fans are too arrogant. And the club is so bad, and it's not going to get any better. And looking at all the signings, Martin Odegaard, I think he's a talented player. But where is he going to play? You already had Smith Rowe, okay? And I'm assuming you already had Pepe, who's going to play on the right. You're going to play, like I said, in the middle, or another striker, or whatever they decide to do. And you play Aubameyang. So what are you going to do is kick off Smith Rowe to the left? It would make sense if you had gone and bought someone a top-class number 10. Take that money from Ramsdale. Put it together with the money that you have for Odegaard. You could have got Madison. I don't understand it. And then you go, you push out the center back, that young center back they had. His name is escaping me right now. And they push out Guendouzi as well. Someone who had heart and was willing to fight for Arsenal. Just seem weak, and you're pushing out people like Saliba and Guendouzi, who maybe have more steel and character about them. I just don't understand the decisions that Mikel Arteta and Edu and Vinay and all these people who are at their club are making. I don't know. It just makes no sense. I watch, you know, Arsenal fan TV. I see all the fans, and it's just not good from an Arsenal perspective what is happening at that club. And I think it's only going to get worse because they're going to play Manchester City at the Etihad, I believe. And they might go into the international break, which is 0 points, bottom of the league. Yikes. Anyway, moving on for Arsenal, let's get into Manchester United. And looking at Manchester United's first two results, obviously they played fantastically well against Leeds. And like I said, you could take your pick of three players for man of the match. You had Bruno, you had Greenwood, you had Pogba, who were probably the three best players on the day for Manchester United. And you couldn't complain. First day of the season, Varane revealed. It was a special day. And, you know, Leeds are, in history, a Manchester United rival in sense. And there's always going to be that bad blood between Manchester United and Leeds. So smashing them any given day of the week is a good day for Manchester United. I don't care. You know, I've never liked Leeds. So anytime Manchester United smashed them, fantastically well. You can bet your top dollar if Leeds ever beat Manchester United, they will sing about that day for the next 10 years. So, let's be real. I'm not going to play it down. There's a little rivalry there. So, yeah, fantastic day. Manchester United played well. The system worked. The system worked for this specific team because Leeds, in my opinion, kind of do play into Manchester United's hands. It doesn't mean it was an easy game because you need to go out there and get the results. But Manchester United played the way they needed to play. They scored the goals. They took the chances that they needed to take. And even when there was a little bit of adversity, Leeds equalized with a spectacular goal. That can shift things in Leeds' favor. Manchester United kicked on again, scored 2, 3, 4, 5. So that is what I want to see from Manchester United this season. So it was a little bit disappointing coming into game week 2. Manchester United played Southampton away from home. And they go behind. It was almost predictable. It was almost predictable seeing what Manchester United did and how Manchester United played. It was so slow. Okay, so let's look at the lineup, what Ole went with, and the differences with what he went with and what ended up happening against Southampton in comparison to Leeds. So with Leeds, you had Ole going with Greenwood up top, Pogba on the left, James on the right, which in my opinion is a balanced front three because James stretches teams while Pogba can be the creator and Greenwood can do either. He can drop deep, he can go in spinning behind, balanced. Then you look at Manchester United against Southampton. Not as balanced as a front three, in my opinion. In my opinion, I wanted to see Sancho play because he can go in behind and he can drop deep and Greenwood can do the same thing. But Manchester United played with Martial. You had Martial, you had Pogba, you had Greenwood. Martial likes dropping deep. In terms of going in behind, he's not very good at it. And when he drops deep, he doesn't hold the ball up very well. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't, and this was one of the days where he had a horrible game either way. And he had Pogba on the left. Then, with Greenwood playing in the middle, the reason why his runs were not effective was, one, Southampton went playing deep, and two, the midfield. What happened in the midfield? It was a midfield of two left-footers. So that means the only long ball that was on for Manchester United was the long ball to Martial down that left-hand side. Because Pogba, for the most part, will come narrow. Pogba is not going to spin and run in behind. It was on Martial to make those runs. And he didn't make it every single time. And the one time that he was found, he lost the ball. And then you had two left footers. So they're not. when you're on the pitch, in the middle of the pitch, it's very hard to hit a long diagonal. Maybe you can, and you're not going to hit a long curved pass to the right if you're a left footer. That's a hard pass to pull off for most world-class players. It's an incredible, you're carving the ball to the right to go in behind the defense towards your own winger. Yeah, try pulling that pass off. Very difficult to do. It's not something easy to do because the angle just doesn't make for good reading, especially if you're being pressed so hard by Southampton, which was something that they were doing pretty much all game. And before the match, I wanted McTominay and Matic to start because I thought, okay, Matic can at least slow down the tempo. He's away from home. We want to keep more of the ball and try and take out that sting from Southampton. And I thought Matic could do that. But then paired with Fred, who just was erratic. He was pressed. There's no calm about Fred. And okay, maybe Ole probably would have done that if, you know, McTominay was fit. In my opinion, that would have helped the team. Because one thing about McTominay is the mentality that he has, and he doesn't get phased. Fred gets phased. Oh my God, he gets dazed, not just phased. He looks lost in midfield. His body shape is all wrong when he's receiving a pass. He's standing way too straight. Like, what are you doing, man? You're like a plank in the middle of the midfield. What is this? He looks like as if he's been condemned to death and is about to jump to his doom from a pirate ship. It's horrible. He's just standing straight there. Doesn't look back, gets pressed way too easily, and he's not strong, so he's going to lose possession of the ball. You just know it. You should be on the half turn. You should be dictating where the ball should be going so you can receive it and you can progress play. This is basic stuff, Fred. And I don't understand, well, he's not a number six, so I don't want to be too critical, but this is basic elementary stuff in football that you should learn on a basic level for anybody playing in midfield, not just a number six. He lost position easily. His passing was horrific, okay? Horrific. I've never seen a player play so bad. And he went up against a young 18-year-old right back. His name escaped me. But he was really good for Southampton on the day. I can't remember his name. I want to give the kid credit because he did play really well. But he went up against him on the foot race. He was running with the ball. Fred could not keep up. He could not outmuscle him. He was pushed onto the ground. It was embarrassing. And then he makes a weak attempt to block a shot, which leads to the goal that beats David De Gea. I think it was a 0 out of 10. It was a poor performance from Fred, and I think he just set Manchester United back 10 yards each time he lost the ball. So tactically, Fred was shambolic, which did not help Manchester United. Then you had Martial, who wasn't doing enough to, you know, stretch Southampton. And then you push up Greenwood to the right, who's not really a right winger, even though he can play there. He's more of a fluid moving player that can play in multiple positions. That's why the center, in my opinion, suits Greenwood, because he can play. He can play to the left. He can play to the right. Center suits Greenwood, not out on the right. I think you limit him when he plays out on the right. Yes, he can score goals, but you limit what he's able to do. You want Greenwood playing central because he's dangerous on either feet. So he can move to the left. He can move to the right, and he's harder for teams to mark in. He's quite skillful. As you can see with the chance he created for Pogba, he puts the ball through the defender's legs, carries it, and passes a perfect pass for Paul Pogba. So that's why I want to see him play this season. So you signed Jadon Sancho for £75 million, Ole. This is where you need to be brave. You don't need to ease Jadon Sancho in. Okay, you signed a top talent. Jadon Sancho is either ready or not. All right, he's trained with the team. I can understand maybe leaving him out for Leeds, but for Southampton, why are you signing a £75 million player and trying to ease him in? It makes no sense to me. This is where, like, things we all, you need to make this straight up rootless decisions. What are you saving Sancho for? It makes no sense for you to say, all right, we're trying to get Martial going when Sancho isn't going. Your top signing of the summer in terms of dollar amount spent. Or pounds amount spent. So you should have Sancho starting off on that right-hand side, which is what I expected. Greenwood in the middle and Pogba on the right. That was what I was expecting from this game, at the minimum. But that didn't happen. And it was unfortunate because when Sancho came in, he was finding pockets of space. He combined well with Wan-Bissaka I think, for a number of times. And, you know, he played in Wan-Bissaka a number of times, which is what we wanted from Sancho, because Wan-Bissaka can make those runs. The problem is no one finds him in that space to make those passes. It's something that we see on the other side with Rashford and Shaw with the combination play. We can get that with Sancho and Wan-Bissaka this season, hopefully. So it was disappointing not to see Sancho start that game. I'm not going to lie. I expected him to start. Moving on from that, we had the midfield, again, with Matic and Fred and Bruno. Let me talk a little bit about Bruno, because I think Bruno is a fantastic player. Fantastic player. But Ole, you cannot just have Bruno play as a support striker when Manchester United are having difficulties progressing the ball in midfield. Bruno playing that high up does not help us. Bruno needs to come deep. You need to instruct Bruno to come into midfield. Not only will he maybe drag a defender out of place or a midfielder out of place, he creates space for other people in midfield. Playing him so high up is only as an advantage when we are able to, have more bodies in up front during an attack. But when we are building, we need our number 10. You see it with Manchester City with Kevin De Bruyne. You see it with Liverpool with Firmino. They drop deep. Firmino is not a number 10, but he acts in that role as that axis to help Liverpool build going forward. There are other ways Liverpool builds, and we can get into that. But for Manchester United, Bruno is vital in that building phase. And so many times against low blocks, I'm like, where is Bruno Fernandes? He's so high up. And I'm like, isn't he the number 10? Why isn't he dropping to link play? Bruno has the energy to get up and down. It's not like he's that slow. He has energy to get up and down. So I don't understand why he's playing so high up next to Martial. And I'm like, why are we playing a 4-2-4? And yeah, maybe you might be saying Pogba is coming into midfield, but we need that superiority. You can almost make a box-like rectangle with the two in the pivot, and you have Bruno on the right and you have Pogba on the left. It's kind of like a rectangle or box or something like that, which would help with build-up. But then again, Manchester United, again, I don't understand it. I prefer what Man United do when McTominay is in the team, where you have Lindelof moves to the left, you have Maguire in the middle, and then you have McTominay on the right. Wan-Bissaka pushes up, then you have your midfielder there. Wan-Bissaka is kind of inverted a little bit. I like that build-up better than what we were doing against Southampton, which is that Matic was dropping into the middle, Maguire was up to the left, and then you had Lindelof on the right. I think that just didn't work, because you had a left footer passing to another left footer, Fred, and you had Matic, who maybe could make the passes. But again, I think Man United's strength is to play pretty much to that left-hand side. So Matic getting the ball on his left foot in that middle pivot, in the build-up phase, in that three, that splits with the centre-backs, but we just didn't have the passing options on, and it just wasn't working. And that's why there was a lot of instability for Manchester United in the build-up phase. I'd much rather have Maguire picking up the ball or Lindelof picking up the ball in that build-up phase, if a team is going to press. Because at least maybe they can find a pass to someone else up forward. I think Matic can do it. I just think as a left-footer, you have a lot less passing lanes available to you when you pick up the ball center of the pitch. You can do it, but it's just more difficult, because if you're pressed at a certain angle, there's only one way you can pass the ball. And that's why Manchester United, for me, struggled a lot. So this is why signing a midfielder is key. All right, we're getting to the whole DM thing. Manchester United have to sign a defensive midfielder. I know for a fact that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer wants Declan Rice. That is his number one pick. But we can beat most teams. Manchester United have the squad to beat most teams quite easily on a good day. Southampton didn't attack Manchester United like that. It was the pressing and Manchester United making their own mistakes that caused the goal that they conceded. Manchester United should have won that game, even despite the fact that United played poorly. So United can dominate games. If we're going to have that much possession, yes, there might be concerns over turning over the ball. But it's not like as if Neves doesn't make tackles. It's not like as if he doesn't get back into position. It's not like as if he doesn't defend properly. My only concern is the situation where we're going to have a midfield of Neves and Pogba. That's when you're going to be concerned. But to be fair, you're not going to play that midfield against Chelsea. You're not going to play it against Manchester City. You're not going to play it against teams that can get at Manchester United. You're going to play it against the Norwiches, the Southamptons, the teams that Manchester United should beat. We can play Mick Fred against Chelsea and play a compact system and try and hit them on a counter-attack. Or same thing with Manchester City. I think most people won't complain about that. But against the teams that sit back is where Manchester United are lacking. They need someone who can progress the ball and progress it quickly, because that's what makes Manchester United look good. In terms of slow build-up play and trying to pass out and it's Manchester United that is just under Ole are just not very good at that. There are also other things that I think that could help Manchester United tactically, and it's something that I tweeted about yesterday. Bruno Fernandes, I think, should be getting on that right-hand side and crossing the ball. I think, especially with combination play that he can have with Jadon Sancho, they can play each other in, they can find each other in space on that right-hand side, and they can deliver the ball into the box, especially if you have Cavani coming back. So there are things Ole can do to create a, like Chelsea, you can see the way they play. They have a set specific pattern they play to get Reece James open in space, or to maybe get Alonso open in space on the other side. We don't have a specific pattern, yeah, that Manchester United play to get someone open in space. Sometimes we do it for maybe Luke Shaw, but teams are wary of that. That's why I'm saying they need to do something on that opposite side, on the right-hand side. So maybe Sancho coming in will help with that. But they need to do more to balance that midfield. And right now, without a defensive midfielder coming in, United need to solve one problem. Either you go out to get an elite ball winner that's going to protect that defense, or you get an elite ball progressor that's going to at least help you smash the smaller teams. It's going to be hard. I know Ole thinks Declan Rice can do both. But you're not going to get Declan Rice this summer if you're not going to spend at least £90 million. So what are we doing? We need to do something. And with that being said, since we're covering the midfield, we might as well talk about Free Donny. A lot of people argued with me today on Twitter because they feel Donny van de Beek is not getting enough game time at Manchester United. I can understand that, and he isn't. That's just a fact. You can argue against that. He's not getting enough game time. He should be playing more. That was never my argument. My argument was, where are you going to play him? You're not going to play a midfield of Donny and Matic. I'm sorry. Especially when Pogba is playing off the left. Because teams would just run down that Maguire side because Shaw is going to push up. And Maguire doesn't have any pace. So teams are just going to keep knocking the ball long to get in behind Maguire. That's what's just going to happen. And Southampton did it a number of times, mind you. But the fact is, and I don't know if that's how the goal came about, but if you have Fred, even though he's not the best passer, he's going to run, he's going to have energy, he's going to try and cover. You don't want Donny van de Beek running backwards. That's not what you want from Donny van de Beek. You want him running forwards into the box. You want him getting into space, into pockets, into the box. That's what you want from Donny van de Beek. Matic cannot hold on his own. He gets bypassed too easily. Yes, you're playing Southampton, but let's be fair. They do have quick players. You still have Theo Walcott. You saw Maguire trying to chase down their striker the other day. And they still had the other guy, I can't remember his name, is he Adams or something like that, that just pushed the ball past Maguire. And that's his weakness, let's be fair. Maguire doesn't have pace. And he got past Maguire. So you might be saying, well, United should go on front foot and attack, attack, attack. United could have easily lost that game because of the sloppiness in midfield. And why you might say Donny can pass the ball very well. Right, he can find passes, he can find pockets, he can move, he's an intelligent footballer. It doesn't change the fact that he can get very easily bypassed in midfield, which is something that I still saw. If you watch the Wolves game, he did good on the ball. Yes, but he still got bypassed like as if he was a traffic cone against Everton. He's just going to get bypassed. So you either accept that and you play Matic and Donny and hope to God Lindelof and Maguire have fantastic games, because you're just letting whatever team attacks. Imagine Manchester United playing Newcastle, right? And you're like, yeah, play Matic and Donny. St. Maximum is going to have a field day. Almost every single team in the Premier League have a dangerous, fast, pacey player that is just going to have a field day against Manchester United if you play such a midfield that is not combative, that can't press really high. What Donny van de Beek can do is play in a system that can shield his weaknesses in the center of midfield. And that is a 4-3-3, right? He can't, you know, and if you're going to play him next to someone, you need someone that's defensively robust. Maybe a Declan Rice, maybe an Ndidi. Then maybe you can get away because with Donny van de Beek playing in the midfield. But with Matic, who cannot even cover his own legs, he would just be bypassed. And you need balance in a football game. This is something you saw with Arsenal. They favor one side of their pitch. There's no balance. They kept on getting overrun with James. Just getting in and getting in and getting in and getting in. That's what would happen in Manchester United's midfield. Teams would just bypass it. And this is why people don't rate Maguire. Because Maguire he constantly is having to deal with stuff. That you see things at Liverpool, Van Dijk doesn't deal with. You see it at Manchester City, you see it at Chelsea. They don't have to constantly deal with these things because the managers have created a system that helps protect the team. Manchester United don't have a system that protects the team. We have personnel. So certain personnel is not going to work in a 4-2-3-1 system because the system is not protecting the team. It's the personnel, Fred and McTominay. That Fred and McTominay axis does not benefit much anyone else. It doesn't benefit Matic. It doesn't benefit Paul Pogba. It doesn't benefit Bruno Fernandes. It doesn't benefit anybody else. You might say that allows Manchester United to attack. No, it gives Manchester United defensive cover, but it's not a systematic defensive cover. It's a personnel thing, and that's a problem. You look at Liverpool. They have a system. If someone gets injured, you have someone that can come in. Tsimikas or something like that comes in, plays left back. Same situation. That is the problem Manchester United don't have. If McTominay gets injured, the person you're throwing into midfield is not going to play the same way McTominay does because it's not a system set in place. So I keep saying, what is the best way for Manchester United to play to get the best out of the players that they do have? Play a 4-3-3. I don't understand why we are not doing it. I don't understand why Ole is not doing it. I don't care. Manchester United has some of the best attacking number 8s in world football. Even Bruno Fernandes played as number 8 sometimes for Sporting Lisbon. So why then are we playing a system that only maybe favors Bruno in midfield? Maybe. We don't have a number. You might be like, okay, we don't have a number 6. Go out and buy one. You have the opportunity to do so. There's a transfer market open for a reason. I rather maybe have just one pivot player. And you're like, okay, we can deal with the issues of that. Because you're not just going to play high 8s and they're never going to track back. No, you should be able to get in on Pogba and Bruno and be like, listen, 3 of you are going to be flat across the front 3 when defending. Right? It's not going to be 2 of you are high all the time. No. You're going to be flat, you're going to be flat, you're going to be flat. Their job is to create and get into shooting positions at the edge of the box when that time comes. You see the same thing with Liverpool. But, or when you're playing against a low block, you want Bruno and Pogba getting into pockets of spaces and they have spaces for Manchester United. It just does my head in. It really does do my head in when I see Manchester United trying to build with Bruno playing so high up as a number 10. And then you have the pivot that's, I don't even know what they're doing, if they're doing a good job protecting the back four. You have Pogba on the left, who is a world-class player and can create from anywhere. But that's not his best position. He's not a left midfielder. He's number 8 that plays on the half spaces and should have the freedom of the center of the pitch, not the center of the wing. It makes no sense. But that's what Ole has chosen to do. I can understand why he's doing it. It's just not a very long-term approach to building a team. It's still very much a stopgap fix, and this is what your third season. We shouldn't be seeing stopgap fixes. We should be seeing a fixed 11 up front. If Rashford is out, there should be someone coming in playing for Rashford that plays kind of similarly to the way Rashford plays. The way Pogba plays is completely different to the way Rashford is going to play. So when Rashford comes in, everybody needs to adjust to the way he plays. It's not a long-term way of playing and building a team. And this is the problem that Ole has. You have someone like Elanga. You're like, okay, Rashford is out. We're going to play Elanga off the left. Pogba, this is your role in midfield. This is the tasks I want for you to do in midfield. This is the way I want you to play midfield. You play in that position. If Pogba is out, you're like, okay, Pogba might not be very, you know, he's out. Van der Beek, if Pogba is not playing Van der Beek, you're going to play that role. You might not play it with the way Pogba does it exactly. But these are the parameters is what I'm looking for. You're playing a flat front midfield three. On the other side of the midfield three, you have Bruno Fernandes. Same thing, if Pogba is out, maybe Bruno can cover for him. You're bringing players through like Hannibal, who would be perfect to play in one of those two roles. You're bringing a player through like Ghana, who would be great playing in the sitting role as number six. So I'm saying, like, long term, it makes no sense the way Manchester United play. Okay, obviously, Ghana can play in the pivot. I'm not saying he can't. But the pivot does not suit Pogba, who is going to have to come back into midfield when Rashford is fit. So going forward, Manchester United need to do something about that. And, you know, we've talked about Chelsea. Let's kind of move on from Manchester United because we've gone on quite a long ramble about them. We talked about Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea's win against Arsenal and Arsenal's demise. Manchester City being strong. Look, I still think it's going to be between City, Man United, Liverpool, Chelsea for the league this season. I tweeted about how teams are going to fall off as time goes on. Manchester United and Ole need to be there right up until at least April. You know, if they sign a defensive midfielder, they need to be there all the way. But if they don't, at least April. Because there's enough in this team to build something that can go on and compete on a consistent basis. And they need to win something major this season. But we're looking at it. And I like Donny van de Beek. A lot of people might be thinking now, okay, you don't like him. I do like him. But we need to look at the reality of the midfield deficiencies that Manchester United has that's not conducive to everybody. So we've kind of covered everything I wanted to talk about. And there's a little bit of breaking news. There's some talk about Neves. All right. There's some talk about Neves. I don't know. Maybe Manchester United go and panic buy Neves. Maybe. I don't know. At this point, we're not sure. All I do know is that Rice is always number one target. Camavinga is an option. And we'll see what happens. But there's some noise about Neves. I'm not confident my Manchester United will go in and they go in from him. They push for him. I'm not confident that will happen. Like I said, I tweeted this a long time ago. I had the information that Man United can get Neves if they want to. They can complete that deal pretty quickly. This is not new news. I don't know what they've decided. If they panic and go say, okay, let's get someone in because we need someone at the very least after looking at that Fred performance. So that might happen. But for right now, they're looking at Camavinga. And if Camavinga is like, listen, I don't want to come to Manchester United, maybe they move. But for right now, I'm not confident. I felt that they will bring someone in because the noise was United want to bring in one more player at the very least this season. So we'll see what happens. Neves, listen, he's not a perfect fit. But he was way better than Fred. And I think he offers more than McTominay. So, anyway. Thank you guys for tuning in. It's the show today. This should be dropping every Monday. if everything goes according to plan. We'll see how this week goes. Manchester United will take on Wolves. Chelsea are going to play Liverpool. I think that's going to be a fantastic game. But it's been a very exciting start to the Premier League season. Seeing fans back. So tune in for more of my show. You can catch me anywhere, Spotify, Apple Music, pretty much anywhere that there's a podcast on. Follow me at The Elite Pundit on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. And I really appreciate you guys. I really appreciate your support for the show. It's a one-man show. It's one-man guy doing everything. And hopefully as time goes on, things can get better for The Elite Pundit page and The Elite Pundit community. But thank you so much. I hope you guys have a great day, and I'll see you guys soon.